What's good, everybody? Friday morning edition NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese here with you talking fantasy and more so sports betting today because we got the great Michael Leboff on, coming on from the Action Network. Follow him on Twitter at The Big Lebowski. Mike, what's going on, man? Great to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's great to be back here. And this is a great time to kind of like recalibrate when you're betting on the NHL right down the stretch, right before the playoffs. And because it's a completely different animal after the trade deadline, right? You're seeing teams that look completely different from a couple weeks ago. So it's a challenge, but it's also like an opportunity to kind of figure out, you know, a couple different like tips and tricks as you're looking forward to even next year and just getting better at betting on other sports as well.
Well, and there's been some good odds now lately. I mean, some of the games last night, for example, quick reaction, Vancouver, Ottawa. That was an interesting one, Mike, because Vancouver had been playing pretty well. Holtby had won two straight, including a couple highlight reel saves in each of those games. And then Vancouver goes and starts Demko, and they lose 3-0 to Ottawa. PD and I liked Vancouver to maybe make a late push here. But what do you see in there in the North Division? Do you think Montreal's got this fourth seed in the bag after seeing Vancouver's performance against the Senators?
Yeah, that was an interesting opportunity, I thought, right? When you look at those two teams right now, especially with Vancouver coming off that long layoff, and you kind of could figure, all right, casual bettors will probably go right back to Vancouver in this game because they just saw what they did to the Leafs, even though the Leafs were much better at 5-on-5. And the price just kept going up on Ottawa, so I was able to kind of buy low. And those... one of the cold realities of betting is a lot of times you're going to be like wearing a black hat. You're going to be on like the wrong side of the good stories. Like Vancouver is a great story, but the price, a lot of times those kind of narratives will drive up the price on a team. So that's what, you know, when you're in this, doing this long enough, like your heart starts to get like turn into a lump of coal and you bet against those stories a little bit, but and that's a good way to kind of make money. But yeah, I think at this point, right, the Canadians are they're going to be the fourth seed. The top of the division is a little bit murky, I guess. Watching those teams kind of jockey down the stretch will be fun. But I think you can pretty much put a fork in Montreal and definitely Calgary. And that seems to be the case for most divisions right now, except for the Central.
And crazy, right? Ottawa is right on Vancouver's tail anyway, for what it's worth, near the bottom of the division now. At the top, Toronto, 63 points, 5 behind Vegas for the NHL lead right now. I don't think we're going to see them catch Vegas, but I think Toronto, after the Nick Foligno trade, is definitely appealing for futures. I know this is a team, Mike, that, like the Florida Panthers, has not won a playoff series in a very long time. But like, do you think there's a legitimate chance that the Leafs could build a long run in this favorable division in the North and like pursue the Stanley Cup? Like, do you think this could actually happen?
They're even money right now to win that bracket, like to win the North Division playoff bracket. So the market's telling you it's a 50% chance that they do, which I think is probably a little high, just because we know what these best of sevens are. Like they're pretty close to coin flips. I think that they're built to win a playoff series in definitely in that environment, much more than they would be to win one in the West or Central or East, where the game is a little bit more muddy. But yeah, I think like you they're definitely the favorite. There's definitely a lot of question marks with them. The goaltending is definitely going to be fun to watch. People up in Toronto, 2 weeks ago, Jack Campbell they were building him a statue. Then a couple of days ago, they were begging for Freddie Anderson back. And so you just never know. You just never know with that team and the goaltending. But I think that it's a lot more competitive. The teams, the Jets and the Oilers are a lot more competitive than I thought they would be compared to the Leafs. Like I didn't think the Jets were going to be very good this year. I was very wrong. Their underlying metrics aren't great, but they're proving those numbers kind of wrong. And there are always a couple teams that do that each year. And they're definitely good enough to pull an upset. So I think even money is a little like flatters the Leafs a little bit, but it's going to be one of those situations where if you do believe in them and maybe they lose game one or something, then you can definitely buy low on them or in a situation like that. But I think the North is priced pretty well right now. I still don't count the Canadians out just because of how deep they are. So it's like at that division, anyone can win and they're all kind of trusting outside, like the Jets are trusting the best goaltender in the division. And then the other three, you just like, you look at that goaltending environment, you're like, I don't know who's going to, who can bet on what goalie is going to get hot. That's a really tough call to make.
I think the price for Toronto is pretty good, all things considered. And I would say they are the runaway favorite there because this team looks so much different than it has the past few seasons. Now that they have the veteran presence with Thornton, they have Simmons there now. Foligno obviously makes an impact on the top line right away for them alongside Austin Matthews, one assist for him. I think those guys really solidify that they can win in that division. I guess the concern I would have for them is the goaltending situation, which you alluded to, Mike. And then beyond that, like you said, you can't discount the Habs ever in the playoffs because of Carey Price. If he's healthy, he can win a round by himself. We've seen him do that for the past 10 years now. He'll pull one out of nowhere, even with very limited offensive support. So then you look at the two other teams and you look at Edmonton, and McDavid and Drysdale could win a round on their own too. But I'm a little jaded on them going far because of their performance in the bubble, which I know I don't want to bring up too much because it was under really weird circumstances last year. So you can't make a whole lot of that, but still I'm not seeing a whole lot from Edmonton. And then Winnipeg, I'm a little bit sour on as well going deep, just because when they had a really good defensive core and a similar offensive talent before, they didn't do much in the playoffs. So I just don't see much happening there unless Hellebuck goes crazy. So I think Toronto is the team there, Petey, that's going to come through. And I think with all those additions and a little bit more of a tougher brand of hockey, I think that'll bode well for them as long as they can figure out in the crease.
And Mike, one thing about Montreal, I mean, if you look around the league and say which potential four seeds, I know some are still to be determined around the league, especially like the four seed in the Central and even the four seed in the West. Nobody seems to want it right now. But if Montreal is the four seed, are they the best? Do they have the best chance to upset the number one seed? I know we were just getting high on Toronto a few minutes ago, but I mean, they may actually have the best path to an upset victory when you think about the depth that you said and the goaltending flair that Price could bring if he's healthy.
Yeah, I definitely would put them up there. I think depending on what the East is, because like all four of the teams in the East could be the one or the four seed. But if you're looking at like team, like that matchup, Montreal and Toronto, there is like a way to beat Toronto that Montreal can play, right? They can slow the game down. They have a couple of very good defensive defensemen. They added another one with John Merrill. Like if you're able to just fog up the neutral zone against the Leafs and make them beat you in a half court style of game, you're going to like open up many more paths to success in that matchup. So they definitely can. It's just a matter of them getting the game on their terms. And it's either them or whoever finishes fourth in the East. It'll probably be the team that finishes fourth in the East, I guess, by the odds, but because it's pretty hard to imagine the teams in this, whoever finishes fourth in the Central or in the West, upsetting the team that finishes at the top, because those divisions are so top heavy. Although I'm still, I can't quit the Blues. And that's a personal flaw of mine, I think, more than anything though.
Well, I wanted to talk about the East a little bit before we shift gears to the Blues here and look at those four teams, Mike, because the price for each of them to win the division is about the same. I'm seeing +250 for Washington, New York, Pittsburgh, and Boston as of Friday morning. So I think the only thing that you look at in the East now is how the teams are faring at home. And the Islanders are the best home team in the division, 19-2-3 at home, but a pretty average 10-11-2 on the road. So I think if there's one team that's going to try to make that push down the stretch, that needs to make the push down the stretch, it's the Islanders, because they need that home ice advantage.
Yeah, I actually think that of those four teams, I think the Islanders and Bruins are probably the two that will finish at the top, which is not what I would have said 2 weeks ago. But I think when you look at Tuukka Rask coming back and Yaro Halak coming back and the Islanders goaltending, like the other two teams, like they just don't have, I guess the goaltending, they're a tier or two below them, which the Islanders goaltending has been awesome all year. The Bruins, when Rask is going, has been great. I mean, Jeremy Swayman has been really good for them in spot starts too, but, and they make life very easy on goalies, obviously too, with their way they play the game. But I would say it's those two teams, especially we don't know what's going on with Alex Ovechkin after last night too. He got hurt or something, that he didn't play in the overtime or participate in the shootout against the Islanders. So it's definitely something to monitor. And the Penguins, like they're very much a high ceiling, low floor team to me in this division, which is a very low, high floor division, I guess, when you think about it. But, you know, Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith. DeSmith has been great when he's been called on, but Jari's been up and down. So it's, when you're looking at these teams, it's so hard to separate them. I think goaltending, even as volatile as goaltending is to predict, I think that's what is going to end up separating who finishes first to fourth as we head down the stretch. And so, I mean, the Islanders' schedule is pretty rough, but I still think that they'll grab a top two spot. And I actually don't, with the Bruins still getting a couple more shots at Buffalo, I think that they could easily, you know, do what they did in the beginning of the year when they went on that 10-2-2 run to finish the year and be basically right back at the top of the division.
For Pittsburgh, you look at their record. I mean, it's unbelievable. 30-14-3. This is a team that's played like the past month without Evgeny Malkin. They just got Kasperi Kapanen back, scored a nice goal on the rush yesterday, also had an assist. So get back in on the Kapanen hype train. He covers hits in fantasy if you're playing out there in the fantasy playoffs. But Pittsburgh is a team, like you said, low floor. I mean, the goaltending, I think, is a step below even Washington's, even on their best day, and then certainly far behind what Boston and the Islanders are offering. So Pittsburgh, to me, unless they get Malkin back and they're really working like two or three lines, I trust them the least to win a round. And yeah, back to what you were saying about the four seed there. I mean, you could see if the Islanders win the division and the four seed is like Washington or Boston, like the other team could be the favorite in the series. So that's kind of why I didn't even mention them, because it's like they're all so close, neck and neck. Boston 4 points behind the Caps, but have two games in hand, so they're pretty much even. So what Boston's putting together now makes them a really dangerous team. It seems like they're starting to peak at the right time of year, but I'm not a big believer in the Penguins, even though they continue to do an amazing job. And, you know, Sullivan, again, should be in the top three of the coach of the year. If Quenneville is going to win it far and away, that's fine. But Sullivan deserves some love in that award, I think.
Well, and what's your strategy, Mike, for betting some of these matchups towards the end of the season? Like, if you look at the Caps schedule, they play the Islanders, I think, the next two games. Then they play Pittsburgh and Boston. Like, how are you choosing on a night-to-night matchup? Like, if you look at Thursday night, for example, both Varlamov and Samsonov recorded a shutout in the same game. Like, how do you pick? Is it, are you just going on the price alone? Or what is it now this time of year for you?
Yeah, it all comes down to price and betting. And like, so last night the Islanders closed around minus, like a little shy of minus 120. And that tells you, and it was on Long Island. So when you account for home ice advantage, that the market's telling you that it thinks that the Capitals are a better team in a vacuum, basically on neutral ice. And I disagree with that a little bit, just because of the depth the Islanders have and the goaltending. And so, it's close. Like I would listen to somebody saying the opposite and calling me a homer for thinking that, which I want to call them crazy for saying the Capitals are better. But I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. It's just always about price. And this part of the year, like I was saying earlier, it's a little wonky because of the deadline. Like you don't know it's so hard to handicap motivation in any sport. And I definitely would advise you not to really try to, but when you're getting down the stretch and a team's like playing off the string, you got to kind of think about like what the makeup of the team is. Like a team like the Red Wings, who won last night against the Stars, they just got Jacob Vrana. There's definitely like at least like a glimmer of a light at the end of their rebuild tunnel. Like this team, there's probably something to them down the stretch. Like they're not going to just like lay down and die, I don't think. And then there are other teams that are kind of like on the coming down from the rebuild. Like you look at the Kings or the Devils, for example. Like those teams, maybe, you know, just tread a little bit more lightly with them, even if the price looks good, just because their season's done. You just don't know. It's hard for them to kind of get up for a game like that. And so that's kind of the thing. Luckily in the East, it's there. You have a lot of teams that'll be playing each other with a lot on the table. And in those games, yeah, it just comes down to price and the goaltending matchup for sure. Because if you look at like, if you think the Penguins are a little bit better than the Islanders, which, you know, like I said, I could listen to that all day, but then you think, all right, is the gap in the goaltending enough to make the Islanders more palatable as an underdog, or even if they are a slight favorite? And those are kind of questions you just got to ask yourself, especially as we get to to the postseason, where you're going to see, you know, Tristan Jarry or Casey DeSmith kind of carrying, trying to win a playoff series in what would be, I guess, like their first or second try. And compared to Tuukka Rask or Semyon Varlamov, who've been there before. So it is like there's a lot to like ask yourself down the stretch and into the first kind of week or two of the playoffs. But it does, like, that's just a long-winded answer to saying, like, yeah, it still just comes down to price.
Right. And the spoilers are a big thing here down the stretch. I mean, I think on Thursday alone, we saw a couple of teams fall victim. Dallas got killed by Detroit 7-3 in a game that I think everybody was just like penciling in the W's as they were on the third leg of a 4-game series against those Red Wings. Vancouver upset by Ottawa, and then the Rangers even fell victim to the Flyers, who, you know, they drubbed twice, but now they've lost two in a row to, last I checked. So that has kind of evened out all of a sudden. The Rangers are a team that I think if they were in another division, they would be in the playoffs. So that's kind of like, you talk about motivation, trying to handicap motivation. That's got to be a little bit of a buzzkill, right, for the Rangers, knowing that pretty much if they were in any other division, whether the West or the North or even the Central, where there's that three-team race, like if they were in one of those other divisions, they'd be moving on to the playoffs in a couple of weeks. Right, Mike?
Yeah, I think the Rangers will actually be a good team to fade down these last, you know, 10 games, just because the market's still going to have to price them as a favorite. They played so well over the last, you know, 15 games or whatever prior to losing the Islanders. And when they play a team like Buffalo, or if they're playing Philadelphia or New Jersey or whoever they have coming down, like if they're a big favorite, it probably makes sense to maybe dock them a couple percentage points in your head, even if your numbers say otherwise, just because, like you were saying, like they gave it a shot. Like they did a legitimate shot too. I was a little nervous for a little bit there that they were going to come and nip the Islanders, but that shot is probably over. Like we probably saw the Rangers at their peak, and now they're going to have to exactly like find it within themselves to win 10 games if they want even a chance, which is not going to happen. Yeah. So like in a game like the Flyers game two or whoever they're playing, like you just got to remember that, you know, this is a team that really did just give it its all. And then it came up short. So like in the last couple of weeks, is that a team you want to be betting on? Or especially if you're laying whatever they ended up last night, like they were in -165 or -170 range. So do you want to pay that kind of price on a team that you just don't know is if they're actually going to be there, basically? So they're definitely one, like that's the other side of the spoiler equation, right? Like if Buffalo is playing Boston, you know, Boston's going to be up for a game. So it's like, you got to kind of weigh whether the risk reward factor is worth it. But in a situation where it's like the Rangers versus Buffalo, then, you know, you're talking about a much more palatable matchup.
And I think the right now, the most interesting race to me is in the Central Division. You have three teams still vying for that fourth spot, including a big matchup tonight, Chicago and Nashville. I've been liking Chicago's prices. They're +105 at home. I mean, would you ever put something on a team like that, Mike, to end up getting that fourth spot? Are you thinking that it's going to come down? In my opinion, I think it's between Dallas and Nashville really for that last spot. I would lean Dallas, but I'm a little bit discouraged after their performance against Detroit.
Yeah, I still think it's Dallas. Like, between the two of them, actually, I was not big on Nashville at all until maybe like a couple weeks ago. They started to turn it around, and you know, a guy that I really liked early in the year, Drew Saros, has been lights out up until a couple nights ago. So he's like a potential series stealer too. So you got to keep that in your mind. You know, we were just saying that I can't see the Predators being able to beat the Hurricanes, but if Saros is on it, like we know that a goaltender can win a series on his own. But I think it's between Dallas and Nashville, and that's like what we'll see down the stretch. And between those two teams, if you are like, you know, if you want to put like $15 on a long shot or $10 on a long shot before the playoffs, like I don't think that there's anything wrong with like throwing a little bit of money on one of those two teams, just because like they are teams that can win a series with the way that they play. Like the Predators play decent defense, and their goaltending is good as long as it, you know, if Saros keeps up this form, and then the Stars are a team that just will turn every game into a coin flip with the way they play defense. And it's just whether or not they can score. And with the way that Jason Robertson is scoring and the way that Rupe Hintz is scoring, like they might be able to, and they're going to get Tyler Seguin back for the run. So they're interesting like that. That it's of course you don't want to play one of the top three teams, but you know, this is kind of what we see every year in the playoffs. It's like, there's really no team you ever want to play in the playoffs. They're all scary. And every team in hockey can beat another one. And the Stars are just a completely different puzzle to solve than if you were playing Florida or Tampa Bay. Like this is, they're a bit of an outlier. Like you got to be able to open up a team that doesn't want to be opened up at all. They're like a clamshell. You can't get open when they're at their best. So like they're live. I think they're in the 30s to win the Stanley Cup. That might be a little egregious, but like when it comes time to like bet series prices, if they get in, I think they'll be a pretty like appealing price.
And the huge driving force this year has been Robertson, Robo, they call him, I guess, these days, as he's making a push for the Calder Trophy consideration. He's only 2 points behind Kirill Kaprizov, and he's played four fewer games, and that's Jason Robertson. So pretty amazing what he's done to make this an actual race. Do you think there's a chance he could actually win this award, though? That's something our producer Bobby has been clamoring about. Just the hot start and the perception of the thing and humans voting for the award and what Kaprizov has done to make the Wild exciting again. I mean, that's really the case for Kaprizov, but the better rookie over the past 2 months of the season has been Robertson. And I don't think anybody can argue against that based on the stats.
Yeah, he's right. Right. It's going to come down to the human beings voting on the award, and people were obsessed with Kirill Kaprizov to start the year. They thought, you know, this guy was the next Sergei Fedorov basically. And they, people are still talking about him like that. And he's awesome. And he's a deserving favorite, but this race should be a lot closer than the odds say. And let's just say like, if you laid, you know, minus 600 or minus 700 with Kaprizov a couple of weeks ago, you're definitely sweating now. Maybe you want to think about buying into Jason Robertson to hedge some of that bet, but I still think Kaprizov will win that award. And it's kind of a shame to see that, like, how the awards have shaken out. Like the coach Q will be the only one. Like, so I had him 20 to 1 or 22 to 1 before the season. But other than that, we're looking at, it's going to be McDavid, probably Hedman and Kaprizov, all three of whom were near the top of the board in their respective markets. So it's a very chalky, not just think about like favorites have won 62.2% of all games this year, which will be the highest if it stays here at that level. And I don't think, you know, the trade deadline will allow it to fall. If it stays there, that'll be the, since 2005-06, according to, we have a database called Bet Labs at the Action Network. And that'll be the best win percentage for favorites from since the first lockout in 2004. So like you're talking about like a very chalky year across the board. And you think about player awards, the teams that are at the top of every division and the way that the games have gone, like it's just been complete chalk, which in the NHL, it makes it a weird year. Like in any, when you think about like saying, oh, like favorites are winning at a clip, you're like, oh, that's what's supposed to happen. But in the NHL, it's not what's supposed to happen. So it's been a very, very strange year because of how normal it's been. And the player awards are no different.
Well, I think the human element's going to come in if the Dallas Stars do make the playoffs, because they've got a ton of games left. Bobby just texted me 11 games in 19 days for the Dallas Stars before last night. So they still have a ton of those left, Mike. And the thing that I'm looking at now is next week, they've got Carolina in a back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday, and then Tampa Bay on Thursday. And I think what makes those matchups so appealing to me is what you said. Those teams know Dallas is a different animal. Those teams know that they can do pretty much anything and get through Nashville in four or five games in the first round. But those teams do not want to face a team like Dallas that can play in so many different ways. That can play physical. They can beat you off the rush. They can get a hot power play for a round, right? And their penalty kill's as good as any team. So I think that's going to be the week to me for Dallas, the statement week. If they can get three W's in those marquee matchups, they're pretty much going to be in. But if they drop one or two of those, the ship might sail and really present that opportunity for David Poyle's Nashville Predators to, you know, catapult in there and UC Saros' nice little stretch run to the end of the season here.
Yeah. And like you said, like that Dallas team is dangerous. They, if you just look at the way they control play at 5-on-5, they're right up there with the best teams in the league. Like their expected goals, I think they're fifth or sixth overall based depending on how things shook out last night. But that just what that tells you is that they're controlling the play in more often than not. Like they're getting more scoring chances on an average night than they're giving up. And obviously, when you're playing a team like Carolina seven games in a row, it's different. And your numbers will dip a little bit because they're a very good 5-on-5 team too. But I mean, that's like, yeah, that's just a team that can beat you in a number of ways. And if their power, like you said, the beginning of the year, they were driving me up a wall because when I was betting against the Stars, their power play was clipping at, 70% for like the first couple of games. And so, that like with kind of power play specialists, like they have like with Joe Pavelski and their defenseman, like this is a team that can beat you if the series both goes off the rails or if it stays 5-on-5. So yeah, they're definitely just a team. I would, think about what your strike price is with the Stars, and they're definitely an appealing, long, like semi long shot at this point. Them and the Blues are the two kind of like the only two teams I would consider putting any more money into in the Stanley Cup market before we actually know what the playoff matchups are going to be.
Mike, sticking in the Central Division, the Florida Panthers, probably the biggest surprise across the league. And that's why Quenneville appears to be a lock to win Coach of the Year, as we mentioned a couple of times already. But for me, it's all about when this team gets to the playoffs, can they actually win a seven-game series against likely Carolina or Tampa? Do you think they match up better against one of those teams than the other? The surface would say they match up better against Tampa Bay, especially if Stammer is banged up and maybe Kucherov doesn't come back, or maybe both of those things are the case. But do you see Florida being the real deal, especially considering they're probably going to have to play the first round of the playoffs without Aaron Ekblad, who is the backbone of that back end?
Yeah, I think that they'll be an underdog in either series, obviously, even if they do catch the number one or two seed. I still think that they'll be plus 120 at the highest against Tampa if they get home ice advantage, and it'd probably be a little longer than that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes down to goaltending for me. Like Andre Vasilevsky's unbelievable, and he's backs up a team that is also unbelievable. So I would veer towards wanting to play Carolina just for that reason. Like you can hope that Chris Driedger or Bobrovsky, or I guess even Spencer Knight at this point, whoever they decide to play.
Never know, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, especially in the playoffs, like that's another funky thing that Coach Q, I guess, if he really wants to. Galaxy brain things, it's just like throw a different goalie out there every night. But I think I would rather play Carolina just because I think Tampa has no real weaknesses, and even though that they're banged up, and we don't know what kind of shape Kucherov will be in, that goaltending is so scary. I'd much rather take on Peter Mrazek's been good. The other two goalies have been fine too for them, but like I just think if I'm a Panthers fan, I would rather play Tampa Bay after they've had to play another series before, rather than right out of the gate.
Yeah, there's no scenario in which you want to face Tampa Bay, no matter whether Kucherov's 100%, whether Stamkos is 100%. There's no logic to why you'd want to face them. Even if you're Carolina, I think you look at the kind of discrepancies between their goaltending this year. Like Mrazek has come back and played tremendous, but now he's nursing a lower body injury. That's not something you want to happen if you're the Hurricanes heading into the playoffs. So definitely something to watch for that team down the stretch. I do want to hear your case, Mike, on the St. Louis Blues. I'm running out of explanations to give as to why I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I'm actually a bit nervous now looking at the schedules between them and the Coyotes today, because I just noticed Arizona has seven games against either San Jose or LA left, including 4-2-2 against those teams to end the season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Blues are just like my hill to die on this season. Just they haven't played well. Like I can't dress it up, but what you're looking at is a good price on a team that has the ceiling to win a Stanley Cup. Or last year they won the West. They had the best record in the West Division. It's not Alex Pietrangelo leaving shouldn't cause a team to go from that high to this low. And if you look at their roster top to bottom, there's still so much depth. And the goaltending, as long as Binnington, he's had some like hot and cold stretches, but if he catches a hot streak too, like he can play at a top tier level with Grubauer or Leonard and Fleury. So it's you're betting on the ceiling, and if let's put it this way. Let's say the Blues get in. That would mean that they'd had to have gotten pretty hot down the road, down the stretch, to get, because their schedule is really tough. And at that point, their price is going to come down. So you're not going to get them at the, you know, 40 to ones now. They were six. I bet them a couple weeks ago at 66 to one. I don't know if those numbers are still out there, but like 40 to one, this is not a 40 to one team when you look at their roster, which is why I had such a hard time getting away from them. And they're another team that is set up to win playoff series, because when they're at their best, they clog up the neutral zone, they cause turn games into coin flips, and they hope that one of their guys gets the bounce or the big goal. And they have players that can do that. That being said, yeah, it's like 50-50 if they even get into the playoffs. The thing I'll say about the Coyotes is like they're not good enough to be confident that they'll just sweep those series against like the Kings or Sharks, or win their games against the Ducks or whatever. They're still a very flawed team. So I would say that even though the schedule would point you to the Coyotes, like the Blues hopefully are good enough and can get their act together to collect enough points to get in. And at that point, like, yeah, they're a sleeping giant, I think, if they get in, which is still a big if. And, you know, they'd also have to play a lot better too, because they just still haven't put it together. But I'd still think, like I said, if you're looking for a long shot, if you don't have like any futures bets yet, and you love the NHL playoffs and you want to find a team to kind of root for, you know, maybe if you're a Flyers fan or a Rangers fan and you're not going to have a team in the tournament, like, why not, you know, take a shot at a team that has shown it can win a Stanley Cup not that long ago, and has shown that it can win the Western Conference not that long ago, at a good price.
Right. You still know they still have that high capability. It's just a matter of finding it. I think that they've been playing a lot more competitively lately. They had the 3-game winning streak. Now they've lost 3 in a row, but two of them have been 1-goal losses. And then, you know, of course you play the Avalanche. They lost to them 4-2. Now they have to play them again. You know, you can't expect to get any points against the Avalanche when you're playing them. But then that stretch after that for St. Louis, 4 against Minnesota, 2 against Anaheim, that's where they probably will take advantage of their few games in hand, get the lead back over Arizona, and then finish this thing off. But yeah, as far as Arizona, it does give them a glimmer. I mean, they're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs if they make it, but it's good for the franchise, no doubt, if they get in. And having Darcy Kemper in the lineup, I don't know if he's fully healthy, but having him there down the stretch of the season actually gives them a real chance of getting the fourth playoff spot. When it was Aiden Hill, I just didn't take them seriously. No offense to the guy, but Darcy Kemper has proven over the past 3 regular seasons, and even at parts in the playoffs last year, that he is not an elite goalie, but pushing that envelope into that conversation. So he really gives them a chance. Don't sleep on Darcy Kemper, because everybody does, you know, in recent years. But what you were saying about the Yotes, if they do have even a slim lead going into these games, I think it's a good point, because like, I feel like the Yotes are most dangerous when everybody overlooks them. You put them in the driver's seat and it's a different dynamic. Even you put them in the driver's seat against teams like whatever, the Sharks or the Ducks and stuff like that, it the tables turn a little bit, and the performance could shake a little bit.
Yeah. And part of me is hoping that they don't get in, because like the price is going to be huge on them and against either Vegas or Colorado. And I actually think I think Vegas is beatable. I don't know if they'll be able to do it against Colorado, unless something incredibly strange happens, but the price is going to be big enough where I'm going to be probably betting them. And that's something I would like to avoid in the first round of the playoffs, where as the Blues, like the price would still be pretty good. And I do think that they have a much more viable path to success against either of those teams than Arizona does. So maybe it's just me being selfish, but and trying to save myself the stress and maybe a couple of shekels down the line. But I'd really like to avoid Arizona getting in and having to bet them against whoever's the one seed out there.
What do you think about Colorado and Vegas? Like, which one do you like better going deep in the playoffs? For me, it was pretty clear to be Colorado, just up until about a week or two ago. This Philip Grubauer COVID situation, I'm not going to over worry about it, Mike, but I do think it's something that warrants discussion down the stretch. If it came down to Dubnyk or Johansson for them starting in the playoffs, obviously I don't like that as much for the team. And then when you look at Vegas, Lehner and Fleury are winning every night. It doesn't matter who starts. Their depth scoring is now coming into full force. Their power play is improving a little bit. I kind of like what I see about Vegas maybe having being built slightly better for a deep run here.
It's a weird situation where Colorado's a better team overall when they're at 100%, but Vegas is probably built better for a long playoff run because we know what happens in a long playoff run. Like, it's a war of attrition. People get hurt. Important players get hurt. And if Colorado loses Philip Grubauer, which they did last year, and that obviously is not doesn't mean he's going to get hurt again these playoffs. Like, but it's incredibly scary. Whereas if Marc-Andre Fleury or Robin Leonard, or even if Grubauer gets cold, like there's no other option really to turn to. Whereas like Fleury and Leonard, you can kind of, you know, plug and play as you wish. So it's a weird situation where Colorado's ceiling is much, much higher, but like with the Penguins, like the floor is a little scary just because of the lack of depth behind Grubauer. I was actually a little surprised that they landed on Dubnyk at the deadline, because I thought, you know, if you know, you really are the best team in the league, why not just go take a shot and go get like even a team starter, like Darcy Kemper style kind of guy, like just go get someone like that to play deputy to Grubauer. So I do think there's definitely like a reason to worry for Colorado, which I wouldn't have said that if, you know, Pavel Francouz was around or anything like that, but just now there is. So it's a little frightening. So from a betting perspective, if you gave them to me at even odds, like at the same odds, like I would, who's going to go further in the playoffs? I actually would probably bet Vegas right now just for that reason. Cause you know, these two teams they're definitely the class of the division. And just because Colorado is the better team, like the gulf between them is definitely not as wide, especially in something like a best of seven, if they do meet.
Right. With Vegas, if they go to the other guy, you're not going to blink an eye. You'll say, oh, they're looking for a spark or something like that. And they've been playing the two of them, especially since Leonard came back from the injury, hand in hand, and it's worked well. And even Fleury just takes it on the chin last year after he was pretty much relegated to the backup, and he has a great start to this season. So there's no hard feelings there. If you're Colorado and you're playing anybody other than Grubauer in the playoffs, there's a problem, because Grubauer is probably injured or something, whatever, or he's been horrible or something like that to start a series. I agree. I mean, they have three options in net, but if you get to the second or third, I don't know that it's even as strong as it was last year when they had Francouz and Hutchinson playing in some of those meaningful games. So as far as Colorado, do you think the timing of this COVID outbreak, and, you know, they did return to action, so that was a good sign, minus just a couple of guys like Grubauer, Mikko Rantanen, another significant one, and Donskoy. Those are the guys that are out of the mix for now for Colorado. But do you think the timing of this outbreak for the Avalanche and these missed games and stuff like that, will it have any impact on the odds and the number of people backing the Avalanche come playoff time in a few weeks? I think anybody that jumps off the Avalanche ship could regret it. So I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on that. I'm still really high on that team, and they still do have the best points percentage in the NHL, which speaks for itself. The possession number is best in the NHL. So I still have confidence in the Avs, but how do you think the COVID stuff impacts their value and money lines and stuff like that for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it'll depend on how they look when they get those guys back in the lineup, or how they look over the next, you know, 10 days or so. But they're the NHL, they're the Stanley Cup favorite for a reason. Their numbers are up off the charts. They're deep. Their defense is ridiculous. They have a three or four game breakers all over the ice. And like we were just talking about, we're talking about like a worst case scenario situation, whereas like the worst case scenario for Colorado is a lot more frightening, I guess, than for Vegas right now, which is
true.
When you get down to something like that, it just goes to show you how good a team is. Like when you're in your head imagining injuries to players or like injury situations or whatever, like that's when you know, like, okay, this team really doesn't have many flaws, because like I have to make up a situation for them to struggle. And but at the same time, like we know that that stuff does happen in the playoffs a lot, like much more. You know, you're not gonna, if you win the Stanley Cup, the team that you win Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final is not going to be the same team that you win Game 1 of the first round with. So it is something that does warrant discussion a little bit. But I wouldn't, if you're someone who's been back in the Avalanche all year and you have like an Avalanche ticket or whatever, I wouldn't hop off because of this at all, and I wouldn't be worried too much. Like Vegas is probably the, you know, second or third best team in the NHL. So when we're putting these two teams together, we are nitpicking. And the only reason I think Vegas is built for the long haul is just because of their depth behind their starting goalie. And like that is, you're really nitpicking when you get to that kind of section of analysis.
Yeah. And I hope it didn't come across as that I'm jumping off Colorado. I mean, they're one of the best regular season teams in history with the past 10 years, at least by a mile. I mean, this team is fantastic. I just think it's when it comes down to potentially Grubauer not being the same or something, it does warrant discussion, because Vegas is a team that I think is just so sneaky too, in the way they're built. They can kind of ratchet up a different playing style in the playoffs. But one thing to keep in mind for fantasy next season, Mikko Rantanen, the fact that he's out with COVID now is one thing, but or on the COVID protocol, I should say. I don't know if he's confirmed to test positive, but he's on pace for 43 goals this season. If it was an 82-game regular season, that's ridiculous, the fact that he's even in the Calder race. So maybe we're seeing kind of a new gear in his career, too, to be a lethal goal scorer on the top line there. So something to keep an eye on there. And before we let you go, Mike, is there anything on this Friday slate that's jumping out to you? The one game I had my eye on was Montreal Calgary. I was really hoping to get Calgary as a home dog here tonight and maybe play a little bit of a spoiler role. It's not there yet. Is there anything that you like tonight?
Yeah, unfortunately. I think I'm going to be on the Sabres, and it's just the price is just getting to be too much, and it's going to end up like 3-1, and that number is just going to be too big. And the Bruins are flying. I don't want to step in front of them, but when the number gets to be that big, you just kind of close your eyes and wait for the pain. But I think that they're interesting. I think if that Rangers number is ends up close to where it was last night, I think the Flyers would definitely be interesting again. And that's really it. I think, you know, it's a pretty small slate, but I was leaning the other way. I like Montreal as long as that number kind of stays around between -110 and -120. The depth and the fact that we're watching a Calgary team that is now definitely just playing out the string. And if it got higher, like if it was like +120 or something, then definitely, especially at home. But the Canadians, as wonky as they've been, especially in since basically February, they're still deep, and they still have like enough high end talent, I think, to be dangerous. So Those are the three teams that I'd circle. Unfortunately, the only one that I'm definitely, I'm almost positive, I'm going to be honest, is the Sabres.
And they're going to have their maybe another shot at a goalie of the future with this Ukko Pekka Luukkonen making his NHL debut. So I guess you're a believer in him. He did some good things for Finland in the World Juniors a couple of years ago. So, you know, now's the time. I mean, nobody's looking at that and DFS and, you know, we actually picked them in DFS tonight because what the heck, second of a back-to-back. Sabres have been, you know, struggling against the Bruins here, but this week, but, you know, they have some appeal, no doubt. And then just a reminder to everybody about the Predators. They blew that lead the other day to the Chicago Blackhawks to get another crack at them here. I think their chances of a puck line win are pretty healthy here, and it's +195 for Nashville to win by a goal and a half. So I kind of like that play. I think that Nashville has a better chance at the playoffs than Chicago. And my only question for them is, will they get Philip Forsberg back before the end of the season? Because that could give them the boost that they need to get over Dallas. So yeah, definitely looking for a bounce back, in my opinion, for Nashville tonight.
And yeah, that's an interesting price too, I guess. Like you think about Chicago, they're not typically a team that is going to play like these tight grinded out 3-2 games. So if you do want to take a shot and get a bigger price, like, and you want to take like, is it more likely that Chicago loses a 1-goal game or a 2-goal game with the way they play? It could be the latter. But yeah, I mean, I've had trouble with Chicago this season big time. Kevin, I didn't, you know, realized how good Kevin Lankinen was in the beginning, and then I thought he was much better than he was in the middle of the season. So I've been riding a roller coaster with them. That whole Central Division, honestly, has been tough. But I could see the appeal with the Predators for sure. But to me, it's just going to be a lonely night with the Sabres.
Well, you, along with everybody else on the Blackhawks, I mean, definitely deserve a lot of credit for even being in this thing at this point in the season. But thank you for joining us, Mike. A pleasure as always. And we hope we can get you back on, you know, right before the playoffs start. We can lock in on some of those prices and some of the matchups you like then.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully Coach Q, Pete, you keep talking about him being a big favorite. I haven't seen those prices come back up, but I really hope that's true, because that would be a nice win.
Yeah, I mean, Florida has been, you know, not as surprising as the Blackhawks, but in a way that they're still among the top five or six teams in the standings. I mean, I really didn't see that coming. And, you know, their offseason moves and then their, of course, trade deadline moves have just solidified things. But Mike, thanks for joining us, man. We'll touch base with you in a couple of weeks before the playoffs. And for Rob Reese and Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Monday with Waiver Wire James. We're deeper into the fantasy playoffs, so looking forward to that. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for checking in.